It's in the market.
What's up, everybody, and welcome to another episode of this podcast. My name is Patrick, and I really appreciate that you tune in for today. Again, with Yuzin, how are you doing?
Doing good. Thank you so much, Patrick, for having me again.
Yes, it's awesome that you took the time today with a really interesting topic, because this week, the DeFi, the Quantum Bridge did launch on the testnet. And it's a really exciting feature, bringing EVM compatibility to DeFi chain. And I also have to say that I tested it myself, and it worked really, really well, and everything worked smooth. I was just kind of confused when I finally received the DETH in my Light wallet, that it's it's like 9 DFI. So I was kind of confused that it's not the actual value there. But in general, it worked everything really. It was the first time I did try something on the testnet. I made the account mentioned in the birthday research article. And it was really, really awesome. And really nice to swap from the Ethereum network to the DeFi chain side with DEthereum then. I've collected again some questions of the community members, starting with, it's like, I don't know, 15 questions, but we'll start right away. The first question is, what will be the block time on DMC? We covered this question in the last episode about DeFi MetaChain, but are there any more details? You talked about like 10 to 15 seconds maybe. Is there anything that changed so far concerning the block time?
Before we get to the first question, I really want to thank you, Patrick, for spending the time testing the bridge. I do think that the team did a really amazing job with that bridge, especially in terms of the UX. I think it's really clear without having to read anything. I think a lot of that article on how to use it is largely on how to get your testnet token.
Yeah, absolutely.
But if it's on mainnet, it's going to be super easy. It's going to be so clean. Thank you for testing that. I'm going to let the team know that it worked really well for you. The team will be super happy to hear that. Great work there, and thanks for your time testing it. On the question on the block time on DMC, so the block on MetaChain, it's going to be embedded on the native side. So there is it's not going to be two separate chains. Therefore, the block time is exactly the same. So when it's launched, it will be 30-second block, just like native chain. Mm-hmm. Just like in my tech talk that I had with DZ the other day, we do realize that if we launch with that, I mean, it's going to be that when we launch, but we have to then improve the block time after we launch, because we're going to be one of the slowest EVM blockchain out there if we stick at 30 seconds. So we do need to improve that. Mm-hmm. There's already work that's been done in this space in that regard already. But the focus right now is to get DMC out. Once it's out, then we will then improve on the block time after that. So the goal is to get it towards around 10 seconds. That's the goal, by the 10 seconds.
Okay. What may be interesting to know is, what is exactly the main difference between Quantum Bridge and DMC? So is Quantum Bridge a part of DMC for those who are new to the space and just know, oh, there's this new feature coming, and maybe sometimes people don't really know, is it the same thing, or what is the exact difference between both of them?
I can see the confusion. It's totally two separate things, even though coincidentally both of them involve EVM in a certain way, because it's built on Ethereum virtual machine. So the Quantum Bridge, it works on mainnet of DeFi chain today and mainnet of Ethereum. So it's not on DMC. So there's no need for an upgrade on DeFi chain to support it. On DMC, the goal is to make DeFi chain buildable, or developers can write smart contracts on DeFi chain just like you would on Ethereum. So that's the goal of DMC, to make a lot of these decentralized apps possible on DeFi chain that is not possible today. That's the goal of DMC. So it's a two separate thing, even though both of them involve EVM in a certain way. Even for the users are kind of different as well, because Quantum Bridge is all about the end user of DeFi chain, allowing end users like you and me who owns DFI or DBTC to go in and out of DeFi chain into Ethereum easily. in a really fast and seamless way. Whereas on DMC, the goal is to target developers so that they can then build on DeFi chain. And therefore, we as an end user, I'm putting myself as an end user here, will get a lot more vibrant ecosystem on DeFi chain. We're going to see a lot of decentralized apps like NFTs, like games and lottery. It's going to move forward to DMC. So all this is going to happen on DMC once it's live.
All right. Okay. So definitely clear the difference. Another question would be, what are the exact transaction fees? So when I tried the testnet, you have to pay gas fees when swapping from the Ethereum side to DeFi chain side. But the other way around, I didn't really try it. I will definitely do it. But how is the transaction fees there calculated from DeFi chain side to Ethereum side?
So there's two part of that fee. So one, it's the blockchain fee. So on the blockchain fee on DeFi chain side, it's close to negligible because the blockchain fee on DeFi chain is really cheap. And then on Ethereum side, a user will have to pay either your swapping into DeFi chain or coming out of DeFi chain. You're going to have to pay that fee because if you're going into DeFi chain, you have to initiate the transaction on Ethereum first. Therefore, you have to pay the fee. And on the way out meaning from DeFi chain into Ethereum, you're going to have to claim the tokens that is being coming out of that because there's no active mechanism that sends that token out to your Ethereum wallet. So you have to claim it. So you have to pay that fee. But on top of that, that's another fee that the bridge imposes. The main reason that the bridge imposes that fee is to kind of like curb spamming on that bridge. And also there's another benefit behind it. I'm going to get into that shortly, but let's talk about the fee first on that. So the fee on Quantum Bridge is free if you're going from Ethereum into DeFi chain. So you don't pay anything else except the blockchain fee. But if you're going from DeFi chain into Ethereum, you're going to pay 0.3% for that. That will not be it will not be earnings to both their research or developers or anything. It will stay in a community wallet, and that wallet, the team has a plan to use the fee that's being collected, to run a campaign to incentivize, to attract Ethereum users to discover DeFi chain and get into DeFi chain. And if they do that, they're going to get a raffle ticket, and then there will be a drawing on smart contracts to determine the winner of that raffle ticket. So it's to entice people to get into DeFi chain. So that fee, it's not for us, it's more to prevent spamming and also to create like campaigns in the future to attract liquidities.
So to summarize, you have to pay fee when getting out of the DeFi chain ecosystem, swapping to Ethereum, and it's 0.3%. And this goes in kind of like a fund where, or a pot where, the birthday research team has access to incentivize other Ethereum people from the Ethereum side to work on the whole topic.
Again. Yes, exactly right. I also want to stress again that fee, it's not a profit or earnings for birthday research team. This is solely a community project. There's no earnings being made by the team whatsoever.
So it's 0.3% of the amount that you swap?
Yes, correct.
Okay.
Yes.
Get it. Someone else asked whether it's possible to make a direct bridge to the Bitcoin Lightning Network. If so, is this already on the roadmap or are there upcoming updates? Is it possible to integrate in the long term Lightning Network also in the Quantum Bridge?
So Quantum Bridge, that's a really, really good question on Bitcoin Lightning Network. Quantum Bridge doesn't end after it's launched on mainnet. The development will continue after that as well, like the campaign that I talked about to incentivize Ethereum users to get into DeFi chain. So that will also be added on in near term. And then we're also going to add as well DeFi token going from DeFi ERC20 into DeFi. So that part is not available yet on the bridge today. So that will be added as well. On Bitcoin Lightning Network, that's a really, really great idea there. It's technically feasible. We still need to do a bit of research and work there, but I really, really curious. I want to hear about the use case there, because I know that Lightning Network is instant, but what are we looking at? Do we have enough merchants that take Lightning Network today that makes this a viable use case? Or is it better for us to integrate with Bitcoin itself, that you can actually get into Bitcoin blockchain rather than get into Bitcoin Lightning Network? Because I think the use case on Lightning Network there, it's kind of still somewhat thin, in my opinion, unless I'm missing something. So I really want to hear about the use case.
Because it was also another question, is it's possible to bridge for native Bitcoin in the future? So imagine, I have my I have Bitcoin and I want to buy the Apple directly. This would be awesome in the future, just by swapping Bitcoin directly to the Apple. I don't know. This would be really huge. But step by step, I think is the right the right approach here.
Agree there 100%. I think it all depends on the use case. If it makes sense, are we going to invest the time and effort in doing that? If you do something that's fun but it's not enough use case, then it's a hobby and no one's going to use it. It's going to be it's going to be wasteful.
Yeah. All right. I absolutely agree. Where do you think does the initial liquidity of the Quantum Bridge come from? The Ethereum side. So there, obviously, if the bridge is there, we still need people who swap from the Ethereum side, DeFi chain side. What do you think? Where does this liquidity come from? And
So the bridge will start with some initial liquidity that's coming from Cake. So Cake will start with some initial liquidity. But I think the bulk of that liquidity is going to come from people getting into DeFi chain easily, because now that you can have with the negative USD vault, I think it's going to be quite interesting to attract people there, because obviously we also need to do a lot more marketing to tell the wider Ethereum community about what's so attractive about DeFi chain, and you should check it out. And this is what you're missing if you're not getting onto DeFi chain today. So now that's easier for you to get into. So all of that's more important once this is live, to attract, to educate Ethereum users and community about DeFi chain. But to start, Cake will provide some initial liquidity, but over time, I hope it's sustainable, that we will attract more people coming into DeFi chain than DeFi chain users going out.
Yeah, through through marketing campaigns, maybe, because someone asked, what is the incentive for people to swap from Ethereum to DeFi chain? You talked about the negative interest rates. Maybe this would be one thing, but it's not. It's only temporarily, hopefully. But in the long term, we have, I think, also when it comes to exchange listings, for example, also a big advantage if we have the Ethereum. We have a bridge where it's absolutely easy. What is your take on the listing? If it comes to exchange listings, it's easier for them.
Exchange listing for DeFi, I know like there's already quite a few exchanges that support it today. For the Ethereum's token on the DeFi chain side, I think that will. I do hope that some exchange will start listing the D token on DeFi chain side to attract more. Okay. But in terms of attracting people, I mean, users coming into DeFi chain ecosystem, I just want to reiterate again, like the negative rate that we have on DeFi chain, hopefully that will attract some people. But we have to do a lot of work on marketing and education as well, because we need to tell people about DeFi chain. I mean, a couple of months back when DeFi chain was top 10 in TVL, I think that attracts some new users to check out DeFi chain. Hopefully with this bridge, you're going to attract a lot more attention into DeFi chain, and they will discover a lot more things coming in. Also, not to forget that we will be having that that a campaign to also attract funds into DeFi chain, because if you go into DeFi chain from the bridge, you're going to get a raffle ticket. And that will win you some prize. The prize is going to come from the fee that are being paid from users going out. So that will be contributed into the community fund, and that will be used for the prize pool.
Okay. Interesting. Okay. Two questions that are really that we already covered, but maybe to make this clear, how much fees do you have to pay to use the bridge for a single swap was a question. So it obviously depends when coming from Ethereum side. On the gas fee. So at what time? I have to say that I did swap some. I had a Coinbase wallet where I swapped some Matic over to Cake, and I had these Matic there and I had no Ethereum there. And so I swapped Ethereum like $3 there, and I had to wait all the time when the gas fees below $3 that I could swap it. And finally it worked. But it always depends on how much traffic is there in the Ethereum network when it comes to transactions. So that would answer this question maybe. And also, will the bridge be usable through the Light wallet? That is also what we just covered. So at the beginning, I mentioned it is possible. You have to have a MetaMask wallet and a Light wallet to do it. I think when it's live on the mainnet, I could also make a short video. That's, I think, a nice idea. A tutorial maybe how to swap from Ethereum side to DeFi Chain side. It's a nice idea. I just came around.
That would be nice. Yeah. Tutorial video would be really, really nice. Yeah. I just hope someone would do it.
Yeah, it's up to me. I will definitely do it.
Awesome. Good work. That'll be great.
Yeah.
Thank you for that.
Yes. Another question is, what does a bridge need to be eligible to mint mint wrapped ETH / wrapped Bitcoin?
So the bridge here does not do any minting at all, right? Not on DeFi Chain side and also not on the Ethereum side. It basically just gets the bridge gets the wrapped Bitcoin or ETH from users who are coming into the bridge, or initially Cake's going to provide a little bit of that liquidity as well from the actual one. We have to get it from, from the exchange or something as well. So it's a real one. There's no minting involved in a bridge. And that being said, like, anyone can actually run the same bridge. And this is also what I do see some other sites that also provide the same thing. I think DFX provides DBTC into BTC kind of a service as well there. So anyone can provide the same thing.
Okay. And are the addresses used in DeFi MetaChain the same as in native DeFi, or are these addresses with the same seed calculated differently? I think we already covered this question.
I think you answered that perfectly, Patrick. Yes. The private key or the seeds are the same. So you have the private key and then you derive public key from there, and then you do another hash to get the address. So the address for DeFi Chain and DMC has to be different because we want to be compatible with MetaMask, even on DMC, because we want to bring familiarity of EVM over to the existing EVM users out there. So the address format will have to adapt to that format, but the private key stays the same. So you only have to have that seed. You can then recover the funds on DeFi Chain and also on the DMC side.
Okay. Someone also asked that, can anyone just come around and build a bridge for that? Or what if the other side isn't trusted, or the other party? Could they mint unlimited, for example?
I think I briefly covered that in the earlier response, that the bridge does not do any minting at all. Yeah. So it's only just having this fund there. So there's some safety that's been built on that bridge as well, because what if the bridge being breached? That will not be good, because that fund on that bridge will be drained. So there's some safety feature that's built on the bridge. Basically, it retains some amount of hot fund in the bridge. The excess of that will be drained into a cold wallet. So if the bridge is being hacked, the fund on that bridge, I mean, that it would not be ideal, but I'm just thinking about the worst case here. The bridge being hacked, the fund on that bridge will be drained, but that's only a small part of the wider bridge liquidity, because most of that will sit on a cold wallet. Cold wallet means that there will be someone that has to, but the research team would have to see what's, if the hot wallet's low, they have to top it up as well. And on top of that, that's another safety feature that's also being done in the bridge itself.
That there's a limited cap. Don't worry. I think I get your point, that there is a limited cap, that if someone hacks the bridge, that it's limited to a certain cap where the hacker can steal the funds. So, yeah.
Correct. Yep.
Was it that point?
Yep.
Okay.
Yes.
And also, it's a trusted bridge. So to make this clear here, that you mentioned someone of the birthday research team has to be there or has to act if there's a potential hack. So,
yeah, I remember that now. Okay, yeah, that's another thing I wanted to point out on the safety on that bridge. So the fund, the access fund on that bridge will be flushed to a cold wallet address, right? So that
directly,
wallet, that
directly.
Wallet. Directly, yes.
So let's imagine a scenario. So imagine a scenario. I want to swap some ETH to D ETH. So I do this swap and then it gets directly into the cold wallet. So the normal ETH or...
No, it stays on hot, but the access, the additional one. Let's say the hot wallet only holds, let's say, one Bitcoin and one wrapped Bitcoin. Mm-hmm. Let's say there's already 0.5 in there and someone comes in with 0.6. It's going to top it up to one and then the access 0.1 will be flushed over to cold wallet. Mm-hmm. Right, so there's a safety feature that's been built on that bridge itself that the cold wallet address is fixed. And if let's say a hacker comes in, the hacker can flush it to the cold address, but the hacker will not have access to that cold address, right? So what the hacker would do is you're going to change the address to an address that he controls. But that one comes with a time lock on the contract itself. It's included. So the hacker will have to wait for 3 days before he can drain the fund. But that will be detected by both the research team or by anyone that monitors that smart contract. Oh, someone changed the address. Is there something wrong? What we could do then is to quickly drain the fund out of the cold wallet address because that's already hard-coded in the smart contract. It's not hard-coded, but I mean, you can change it, but there has to be a delay to change that. So you can see that as change, the fund will all be safe to that cold wallet address, and then we can then distribute the fund to community users or something that's affected. So that means that the hacker will not be able to change the address if you can breach the smart contract so that the fund will flush a new address, because that involves time before that can be effective.
Okay, I think that...
Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah. I have to rewatch it in the recording back then, but to understand every point. But in general, I think the safety point or safety aspect is really, really important, especially when it comes to bridges. So,
yes, a lot of thoughts are put behind it.
Yeah, a lot of hacks already have been there concerning Binance Smart Chain. And I've made a thread on this, and I've been through the Medium article of Birthday Research Team where they mentioned the exact points and what Quantum is doing better or even different than other bridges to provide being hacked. So that's really awesome work there, and let's hope we won't get hacked. But
safety fingers
first.
Crossed.
Yeah, safety first.
Right now it's on test. We really hope that a lot of people will test it, and if you can break it, let me know. I'll give you some DFI that if you can break it. That will be it will be a good one. I'll personally reward you some DFI there if you can break it.
All right. So we just covered the technical questions. I just want to say that try it out yourself. It may be difficult at the beginning if it's on testnet because you have to get some ETH to your testnet wallet. You have to make a testnet wallet on DeFi chain and new seed phrase and stuff like this. But when it's on mainnet, you should definitely try it out. Or even if you have the technical knowledge to do it on testnet, go for it. It's definitely worth it. It makes everything so clear and shows the potential of DeFi chain in the future. So I'm really looking forward to the launch on the mainnet. And by talking about this one, is there a specific date when it will launch on the mainnet?
We don't have a specific date because we're waiting for the testnet. We're trying to build our confidence as well on the testnet to see if there's any issue there. We're still doing a couple of edge case testing to make sure that it's fully safe. Mm-hmm. Tentatively, we're looking at either launching it this week, later this week, mm-hmm. or by early next week. I think I don't see us going beyond that. So by early next week, we should be able to see it live on mainnet.
Okay, crazy. That would be really awesome. Really looking forward. I also collected some questions about DeFi MetaChain. I think it's about three or so. Which projects will build on DeFi MetaChain Launchpad? I also had the talk with Julian where he said you and Julian are building a project maybe on top of DeFi MetaChain. There are no specific things, but is there anything? The problem is that many people see, oh, nice, it is EVM compatibility, but who should use it then? And what projects are they already building on top? So we don't really know as a community, and that is what I think is important to clarify. If there is, are there any projects that already plan to build if it is live?
I want to take a step back there to also kind of like explain or make it clear to everyone that, I mean, DeFi Chain started as like a single project, single decentralized app, where everything that we do or the community do on DeFi Chain, that's only one, we're facing directly on the end user. The end user, we're going to use liquidity mining, going to use a swap protocol on DeFi chain to do things. Whereas on MetaChain, it's going to be, we're building it to attract developers to then build decentralized apps that attract users. So it takes another layer there. So DMC is a lot more about developers building dApps, building decentralized apps, and then for users to use it. So when DMC is out, doesn't mean that the apps will come. So you're right, Patty. Mm-hmm. Sorry, Patrick. Yep. So we're going to have to attract developers to build on there as well. That's why the fund for CFP to do the launch pad was requested. And once DMC is live, there will be hackathon to build on it. And if you manage to attract some TVL, you're going to be able to get a grant. You're going to be able to get some prizes as well, just based on TVL that you attract. And by this, we do see that some of the blockchains have done similar and managed to attract certain projects that move over to the other blockchain by cloning what they have on Ethereum or other blockchains to bring it over and then bring their users over as well, because they can create some incentive from the prizes that they get from the grant. We hope that will happen on DeFi chain. On top of that, we also know that a lot of community projects are already building on DeFi chain, on DMC. Building on EVM today, waiting for DMC to go live, like the NFT project, for instance, and the lottery project, for instance, as well. Mm-hmm. And for us, we are also working on some ideas as well. There's nothing specific at this moment that we're working on, but we are exploring ideas. And we want to also see if community is building something. We do not want to then compete with the community, because we rather have community build on DeFi chain rather than us building it and then competing with community. So that's why there's nothing really specific at this moment. We want to build this great tool, great blockchain, a great tool chain for developers to easily build on DeFi chain and attract more TVL, more fund over, more liquidity over, and more users over. That being said, the roadmap for DeFi chain after MetaChain is out, it's a lot about trying to attract developers, trying to attract builders to build on DeFi chain and DeFi meta chain. And we now have to change our thinking head a little bit on why developers want to build on DMC and not on Ethereum, the largest blockchain, the largest smart contract blockchain in the world. We need to switch our head on why do you want to build on DMC? So then we need to think about, is it because of incentive from Launchpad? Or is it because there's some features that DMC has that Ethereum doesn't have? That's why the roadmap that I presented with DC, I didn't make it super clear back then, but now that I think about it more, also talk to Julian and all that, it's clear that what we do here is we want to create this reason to build on DMC. So things like liquidity bridges, like the coupling of sharded coupling bridge that talks about DeFi chain and Solana, DeFi chain and Ethereum for Masternode. So that will be a really attractive use case to build on DeFi chain, because what you build on DeFi chain will allow you to get liquidity easily from other blockchains. So if you can do this, it will be a very compelling reason for developers to build on DeFi chain. So with that, I'm really hoping that DeFi chain can achieve this goal on being the blockchain that anyone who wants to build a decentralized app would go to, because it's, you build on DeFi chain, you get liquidity from all the different blockchains. If you build on Ethereum, you get on one. Yes, it's the largest one, but you get on one blockchain. Whereas on DeFi chain, you get on Ethereum, you get on Solana, and we're not competing with each other. We're just providing bridge and providing services to other blockchains.
Is there a connection between the Polygon listing and of Cake and the DeFi MetaChain launch? Because maybe I've listened to the tech talk back then where someone's mentioned anything about Polygon project building on DMC Launchpad. Is there a connection, or is it just like, yeah, we decided to make it happen?
I don't think there's any connection. I mean, as far as I know, there's no connection. There's no technical connection for sure. Is there any project connection? Not that I'm aware of, but hopefully there's some attention from Polygon communities to learn about Cake and also eventually learn about DeFi chain as well. I mean, that will be a side benefit there, but I do hope, I mean, on the direct one, that I don't see any real connection there.
Okay. What is also really important to talk about is, I think, I'm really active in the community at the moment, and I think that the focus is more about the current state. So we're talking a lot about the DUSD problem and stuff like this and what is happening at the moment. And I already try to push forwards to keep up and look in the future what happens there. And I think that many people underestimate the value or the potential that Quantum and DeFi MetaChain brings, because many people can't really, they can't grasp the dimension we're talking about. And I'm also very euphoric, as you might know. But yeah, do you think that many people underestimate the whole thing? Or what is your sentiment there?
No, I really do think so. It's just like it remembers the first time when DeFi chain started, when we only had staking and then we had the anchoring with Bitcoin. That's the only two ways that you can get any rewards on DeFi. And then when we launched the DEX, you can do, for the first time, you can do liquidity mining. When we were talking about it from the 1 or 2 months before the launch, a lot of people were trying to wrap their head around it, and I had to do a lot of talks to talk about how it works and why it's so exciting, why it's so useful, what it means for DeFi chain. I mean, it's hard to grasp it. It's really hard to grasp the concept before seeing it. So I can understand that it's really hard for a lot of people to kind of see what's the potential of Quantum and what's the potential of DMC without first seeing it live. But next week, you're going to see Quantum live, and you're going to see a lot more people talking about it. And hopefully you will then get a lot more details about what it brings to DeFi chain. Because for the first time, DeFi chain now will be connected directly to Ethereum on the liquidity side. I mean, if you look at coin market cap on the top, top 20, top 30 coins, almost all of them has a direct bridge to Ethereum or to each other even. All the EVM blockchains have a direct bridge to each other. And then for DeFi chain, I think we're one of the unique ones where we do not have a direct bridge. But now from next week, we're going to have a direct bridge to Ethereum, the largest DeFi blockchain out there. So hopefully we'll get a lot more attention and a lot more liquidity as well coming into and out of DeFi chain from next week onwards. And DMC, yes, that will be a really exciting one, because now for the first time, we're going to have, once that's live, all of us are going to be so busy. I'm pretty sure that the new show will have so many things to talk about, because we're always going to have new projects coming into DeFi chain. You're going to have new stuff talking about on DeFi chain all the time. And a lot more focus will now be on new things to check out on DMC rather than on like what are the protocol updates, what are the like small things and what are the technical things, because a lot more attention will be on like, oh, there's new apps on DeFi chain that you should check out because it does this and that and this new cool thing. So yeah, a lot more excitement is going to come in.
You really enjoy.
Yes. Looking forward to it. Yes.
Yes.
I can picture that already.
last question for the day is about programming on DeFi chain in general. It is about the documentation process when it comes to programming on DeFi chain. Some people were complaining on Reddit by saying something like there just isn't any documentation for this sort of stuff. Your guess is to read existing open source code like the Light Wallet. It's really frustrating and it holds back the ecosystem. And it's really difficult for developers to follow along with the developing process because of documentation. I personally cannot say anything about it. I'm not a developer, but I just read this comments on Reddit. And yeah, what is your kind of like kind of feeling there?
Yeah, I can see where that's coming from. And I do agree that the documentation on DeFi chain today is, it's not perfect. It's somewhat lacking, maybe on the low side. I would say two reasons there. One is that we're not investing a lot of effort into writing or generating documents, documentations, even though the code, for example, Jellyfish is really well written, but the documentation side is a little bit weak there. I really do hope that the community will come up with more documentation on Jellyfish SDK as well, because I would rather the developers spend more time working towards DMC rather than writing documentations on Jellyfish. But if you're a developer today, you want to build things on DeFi chain, there are two ways that you can do that. One is directly calling RPCs, and that's actually a really good help that you can run on your command line. DeFi-CLI help, you can get all the commands, and you can just help any of the commands, and you can get all the parameters to call. So you can build directly on that as well, because I did build couple of tools on DeFi chain just by calling the RPC directly rather than using Jellyfish. So that's one way to build things. And the other way is obviously through Jellyfish, where documentation is kind of weak, but then the code itself is actually really, really well documented. So if you can read code, just like what the question was talking about, you can read code, read the test case. Test cases are the best way for you to understand how code works. And Jellyfish is really, really good test coverage. From there, you can see how addresses are generated, how balances are spent, how you can query balances, how do you do a swap. So there's a lot of examples in there that you can pick from. If you want even more greater example, you can look into Light Wallet, for instance, or Kugi's Vault Maxi, also consumes Jellyfish SDK and also Ocean. So you can see how all of that's being done and you can just modify from there. This is kind of how developers like me and a lot of people do by seeing other code base, by learning by kind of copying and also learning and then building from then building forward from what you see and learn from the other projects. With DMC though, a lot of things will start to change because DMC, we're building on EVM. EVM naturally, it's the largest developer platform in the world for blockchain. If you see anyone on LinkedIn that says they are a blockchain developer, 90% chance or 95% chance that they are building on EVM. So once you have DMC, you can then start to refer to a lot of like tools, tool chains like Hardhat and a lot more DMC tool chains, a lot more EVM tool chains will now be applicable on DMC. And now you can actually build a lot more easily on DMC than it is to build directly on DeFi chain native today. So once DMC is out, I'm pretty sure we're going to see a lot more developments happening from the developer side. And also with that, the more developers that work on something, at the side of it, you're going to work on tool chains, so you're going to work on documentation, you're going to work on discussions. A lot more people are talking about it. So with that, it also adds to the documentation side, and then that will in turn attract more developers to come on board. So I really think that DMC is kind of like the solution here to the problem that this person is asking about.
Bright future ahead also when it comes to documentation on DeFi chain for developers. Yeah, really interesting. I really don't understand the technical side there, but hopefully someone who listens does, who asked this question. Yeah, that's it for today. I think we covered a lot of questions. The best thing or the best way to collect or to make experience here is to do it yourself. Just try it out, even if it's live on mainnet. It was way more easier for me to understand the process when I did it. It was yesterday I tried it out, and it was so easy. It is really no brainer. The explanation is really understandable. And also talked to many people of the community who said exactly the same about that. User experience is awesome, and yeah, you can't misunderstand anything here. So definitely check it out. I will link it in the description. Is the URL the same when it goes live on mainnet, or will it be different then?
It will be the same.
Okay. Then I will...
Yep.
Okay. And I will also...
QuantumBridge.app.
Okay. I also plan to do a video, as I mentioned in this episode, like a short tutorial, like 10 minutes, 5 minutes, how to swap some...
That would be nice.
ETH to DETH and vice versa. Would be awesome. And again, thanks for being my guest today and taking the time answering all these questions. And yeah, we'll see each other in Singapore back then, when in the future, not back then. and yeah, thanks again for being my guest. And
thank you so much, Patrick, for having me. I can see that when you passed me the questions last week, there's a lot more questions. And then now we have a really short show because you've used it. You've understood a lot of it on quantum. And now we're actually skimming through a lot of that question because even for you, you understand how it works now.
Yeah, but right? we did cover that.
I can kind of
anyways.
See the difference there. Yes. Yeah, I know. But you understand a lot more now because I can see you're also skimming through the questions really, really fast.
Thanks. That's really a nice compliment. And I also try to understand the technical side. It's really, it fits in the picture, in the whole, all over. It's, yeah, way easier to understand everything then. Thanks again, Yuzin. And we'll see each other in another episode. Until then, yeah. Hope you get some value.
Thanks so much, Patrick.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
Have a good afternoon. Have a good evening. Thank you.